In just a few weeks, we're going to have the pancake tent at the Delaware County Fair. And I want to begin this message with a question for everybody. When it comes to life, when it comes to life, do you feel like more the head or the tail? Be honest with yourself. I mean, when it comes to your life and where you are at today, do you feel like more like the head or the tail? I want to begin a four-part series today that'll take us through the fair. And the title of the series is More Than Conquerors. More Than Conquerors. You see, God wants us, He wants you to be the head. He wants you to somehow prevail and to be a conqueror of life. And when the Pancake Tent group met a few weeks ago, or actually it's been a couple months, we started processing what do we need to do. There was a sense of, what's the fair going to look like? And we still don't know totally. But here's what the group grabbed hold of. We're going to be a conqueror. We're going to be one that faces this, and we're just going to go for it. And over time, the past few weeks, we've embraced the challenge, and we say, you know what? We are going to approach the fair with a sense of confidence and be a conqueror. And I want you to absorb that spirit, not just for the tent, but for your personal life. God wants you to be the head, not the tail. He wants you to conquer, not be defeated. He wants you to be victorious. And this whole sense of, with coming through this past year and 3-4 months, it's been a very difficult year. But it's time we just embrace the sense of calling to live like a conqueror again. There's a key verse. It's Romans 8:37. Thank you, Alyssa. And let's read this together. No, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. This is Paul speaking to the believer, and he says, you know what? We're not just a conqueror. We are more than a conqueror. That's amazing, isn't it? It's not just a conqueror. It's a higher level above that. I want to give you a definition of what it means to be more than conquerors. It's in your notes as well. It means to not only prevail, but to prevail mightily. See, that's the more part. You just don't only conquer, you do it in a prevailing, mighty way. It means to exceed, to go beyond, overwhelmingly victorious. God wants you to be the head, not the tail in life. I'm going to do something this morning that I haven't done for some time. It's a little bit different. I hope you bear with me. We're going to watch a video. The video is 7 minutes and 11 seconds long. It's long, but I think you're going to really be blessed by it. Let me give you the backstory before we watch it. Jane Mercruski, age 30, appeared on America's Got Talent. She sang a song. It's called It's Okay. But let me give you the story about Jane. 30 years old, she's had cancer for a number of years. And as I did a little research into her life on the internet, she's a Christian, she's a believer. And as she's been dealing with this cancer, I read where her husband left her because of probably all the stress and the strain. But she pushed forward in life as she's dealt with this cancer. Now, as she walks off the stage, I want you to listen to what she said, and I'm going to tell you what it is first. She said she has a 2% chance of survival. But you know what she said? Listen closely. She said it's better than zero. And when I listen to this woman's story, and you will hear it personally yourself, you're going to hear the song and everything. So keep in mind, going through cancer, she literally is day to day, she says, you know what? I have 2% chance of survival, but it's better than zero. And when I heard her say that and I processed this, you talk about being more than a conqueror. That's what she is. So 7 minutes, just enjoy it, absorb it, listen closely, especially when she walks off the stage. Elissa?
So happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you are. What's your name?
My name's Jane. When I sing, I go by Nightbird.
Aw, that's nice.
Nightbird?
That's right.
Do you sing for a living?
Not recently.
Where are you from?
I'm from Zanesville, Ohio.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 30.
30 years old, and the dream is to be a singer. What are you going to be singing for us tonight?
I'm singing an original song called It's Okay.
It's Okay?
Yeah.
It is. It's Okay.
Okay. It's Okay.
What is It's Okay about?
It's Okay is the story of the last year of my life.
All right, and who are you here with?
I'm here by myself.
It's okay.
Yeah.
And what do you do for a living?
I have not been working for quite a few years. I've been dealing with cancer.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right.
Can I ask you a question? How are you now?
Last time I checked, I had some cancer in my lungs, my spine, and my liver.
Wow.
So you're not okay?
Well, not in every way, no.
You got a beautiful smile and a beautiful glow, and nobody would know.
Thank you. It's important that everyone knows I'm so much more than the bad things that happened to me.
Yes.
All right. Sing for us.
Good luck. Nightbird.
I moved to California in the summertime. I changed my name thinking that it would change my mind. I thought that all my problems, they would stay behind. I was a stick of dynamite and it just was a matter of time, yeah. Dang, oh my, now I can't hide. Said I knew myself, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's alright. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright. I wrote 100 pages, but I burned them all. Yeah, I burned them all. I blow through yellow lights and don't look back at all. I don't look back at all. Oh, dang, oh my, now I can't hide. Said I knew what I wanted, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's all right. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. If you're lost, we're all a little lost, and it's alright. Oh, it's alright to be lost sometimes.
Wow.
You know, it's funny because singers come on and I think about authenticity. You know, when you feel it, when it moves you, that felt like the most authentic thing I have heard this season.
That was surprisingly beautiful.
It was powerful, it was heartfelt, and I think you're amazing. You gave me chills. I mean, your voice is so beautiful to listen to. It was beautiful all the way around.
Your voice is stunning.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Absolutely stunning. And I totally agree with what Howie said, you know, about authenticity. There was something about that song after the way you just almost casually told us what you're going through and, you know.
You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy.
There are, however, there have been some great singers this year. And I'm not going to give you a yes. I'm going to give you something else.
Survival, but 2% is not 0%. 2% is something, and I wish people knew how amazing it is.
You blew us all away. You are the voice we all need to hear this year.
That was way more than okay. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. God, that really got to me.
It pushes all the heartstring buttons, right?
And yet she's still so strong.
She said, you can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy. I have a 2% chance of survival, but 2% is not 0%. God has called us to be more than conquerors. She certainly is, isn't she? Not just a warrior, but a mighty victorious warrior. In 2014, Russell Wilson, who is the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, challenged his team. He challenged them in the locker room. He says, why not us? Why can't we go in and win the Super Bowl, which they did that year? But let me tell you where the seed got planted from. It was his father years earlier and through the years would say to Russell, Russell, why not you? Why don't you play professional baseball? Why not you, Russell, to play professional football? Why not you? And somehow that germinated inside him, and he took that message to the team, and that year he says, why not us? Why can't we win the Super Bowl? Why not us? And they did. They beat Denver, I believe it was 43-8 in that Super Bowl. But here's the question I want you to ask yourself. When it comes to being victorious and a conqueror, why not you and why not me? Why not? The Word of God proclaims it, that He wants you and me to live in victory, despite the stuff we're dealing with. Why not us? Why not you? Why not me? So as we think about the tent and being a conqueror and approaching it with a sense of being victorious, I want to apply it to your life as well. Why not you living a life of being a more than a conqueror like Jane was when she sang that song? Why not you? Why not me? Ask yourself that question. You know why? God purposes you to be the head, not the tail. To live victoriously, not defeated. To live with a sense of power, not weakness. To face your circumstances, and though they are difficult, you can still choose to be a conqueror in the midst of it. I'd like to share four simple thoughts, four truths that will empower each of us here today to be more than a conqueror. It's from God's Word. It's not me speaking. It's not me writing it. It's what His message is to every person here today. Be more than a conqueror. So what's in your notes? If you have your sermon listening guide, let's get started. Four truths that I think can move us toward being the head, not the tail. Number one, understand that God wants you to be victorious. Verse 31, it's in your notes. Let's read this together. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, I want you to absorb that. If you believe that the living God who created you and redeemed you through Christ is for you, on your side, who can be against you? Think about it. There's a movie that was made. It was called The Bear. And apparently one of the closing scenes, it's about a lion that is about to attack a baby cub. And the scene at the end of the film is this lion is approaching this baby cub to make the plunge and to literally kill the baby cub. And all of a sudden, the baby cub raises on its two feet and lets out the best shriek that it can, that a little baby cub can. And the lion literally turned and ran. But then the camera shows the bigger picture view, and here's what was in the bigger picture. There was a huge grizzly standing behind the baby cub that was on its two feet, overshadowing the baby cub. The lion saw the grizzly and ran. What have you got in your life that's a lion? God the Father is for you. He's the grizzly behind you, the power, the force, the energy that can get you through it, to help you be more than a conqueror. He wants you to be victorious. Olive Alyssa put that slide up. It's a repeat of the verse, but it basically says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I want you to embrace that today. God is for you through grace in Christ. He's on your side, and He wants you to be victorious. Truth number two, He will give you power to conquer all things. He'll give you this sense of anointing and power to come out on top. Read with me verse 32 in your notes. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Think about this. We know that Jesus died for us, correct? We believe that. We accept that. If the price has been paid, why would not the Father want to then graciously give us all things from the sacrifices that has already been made? Paul says, he will graciously give us all things, all power to conquer in life. In 2 Peter 1, let me read this for you. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Whatever the lion is in your life, there's promises and power available to you to conquer it. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate or experience the divine nature, and I love this, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Let me paraphrase it. There's power available for you to experience the escape. The escape from the struggle inwardly, because the sacrifice has already been made. I read about a man by the name of Glenn Cunningham. In 1917, he and his brother went to school. Glenn was 8, his brother was 13. There was some kind of an explosion. Somebody had put gas in a kerosene can and it just exploded. And the older brother, Floyd, age 13, died. Glenn was burned severely. He lost all the flesh off his knees. His shins were just, the flesh was gone as well. And on his left foot, all the toes, the flesh around it were just gone. The doctors recommended amputation. Now, young Glenn was a Christian, a little boy, and he had a favorite verse, Isaiah 40, 31. Some of you know it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the parents didn't allow the doctors to do the amputation. The boy was struggling. He was so distressed over think of losing his leg or legs, and they didn't let him do it. Here's what happened. It took him almost a year before he took his first step. A year. But somehow, some way, through therapy and so forth, he began to recover, and this young boy started to run. And let me tell you the rest of the story. In 1930, he would have been about 21 years old. He set a world record for the mile, running it in 4 minutes, 6.8 seconds. It stood for about 3 years before somebody else broke it. But the kid was on the verge of getting his leg or legs amputated. And he just trusted in God and believed in that whole healing. And they went on to break a world record. You know what happened? God powered him through it. What do you need to be powered through today? What's your circumstance? What is it that is dogging you and it's a sense of defeat? Listen, it says that God will give you power. You know why? He wants you to be a conqueror. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He wants you not only to prevail, but to mightily prevail. And he gives us power to power through whatever the struggle is in life. I can't imagine the kid, you know, he wondered if he'd ever walk. And then he started to run and one step at a time. And then he broke a world record, or he set it. That's absolutely amazing, isn't it? Listen, God wants to power you to get through it. It may take some effort and trust and faith, but that's his purpose. So number one, he wants you to be victorious. Number two, he'll give you the power to do it. Number three, I love this one, God can declare you righteous. God can declare you righteous. Read with me verse 22 in your notes. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. I want to explain something. You know, we have an enemy, Satan, and he is known as the accuser of the brethren. And if you walk around in life with a sense of condemnation inside yourself, I'm a perfectionist at heart. I've dealt with this all my life. But here's the deal. That's not God's voice speaking to you. That's your own voice speaking to you. And it says, who can bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It's God who justifies. It's a legal term. It's like going to a court of law and receiving a pronouncement that you are acquitted. You're no longer guilty even if you committed the crime. God has that power to do that in your life. You may already believe and know you're justified before God. I mean, you may be a believer. If you are, then you've been declared righteous through what Christ did on the cross. If you're here and you've never had this sense of being declared righteous, let me tell you, God wants to do that for you. You know why? It makes all the difference in how you view life going forward. You can't be a conqueror until you get to the place where you know and believe that God is truly for you and you're working together with him. Here's a quote somebody said when it's about being justified. God declares a man or a woman righteous when he believes in Jesus. In other words, it takes our faith response to God's word, which says when he offers righteousness through Christ, we have to receive it by faith and exchange our unrighteousness for his righteousness. Paul wrote, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know what that means? We do an exchange. We give him the bad stuff, the guilt, the condemnation, the struggle. We surrender that. And you know what he gives us in return? Christ's righteousness to our heart. And we're justified. Here's one more slide. It says that Jesus is the legal expert who is there to plead our case in heaven. He has never lost a case. You know what that means? We have an advocate. His name is Jesus. He's our legal representative that when we put our faith and trust in him, he can declare us justified and put right by God because of his authority. Now, here's the secret. You got to make it your own. The person seated next to you can't do it for you. You and I, we can only do it for ourselves. It's a faith transaction. You got to dig deep. You got to say, I want this. You know why? That is the foundation of living as an overcomer when you know your heart in connection and relationship to God is good. And by faith, you're living in his righteousness. You give the bad stuff, you receive his goodness. God can declare any person righteous. Finally, number four. The fourth truth that can make us a conqueror is this. Understand that Jesus is praying for you. This is an amazing thought. Read with me, verse 34 in your notes. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. It's good to sort this out. When it asks the question, who is he that condemns? That's referring to Satan and the demonic forces of life. I mean, that evil presence condemns us. Our own spirit can condemn us. But Jesus is the one who can set us free from that condemnation. And he's interceding for us before the Father. You know, I thought about this, and what is he praying anyway? I mean, if he's praying for us, and there's a whole bunch of people on planet Earth, he's praying. What's he really praying? And my heart went to Luke 22. It's when Simon Peter, you know, he denied Jesus and three times, and the cock crowed, and he felt terrible, and he felt guilty, and then he came back, and his faith kind of brought him back to repentance and so forth. Read this with me in your notes. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Here's what I think Jesus is praying for you and me this morning. I think he's praying that our faith will not fail. Parents, you want a prayer to pray for your kids? This is it. Pray that their faith will not fail. You know why? Jesus didn't pray that Peter wouldn't make the mistake. I mean, it's free choice, and he knew we all fail. But he did pray that his faith would not fail. You know why? It's called forgiveness. It's called grace. Your faith is the most valuable tool in your toolbox. It's the most precious substance around. Because if your faith fails, we go down. If your faith succeeds, if it stays strong, if you continue on the journey of faithfulness in your faith, you know what you're going to become? You're going to become a conqueror. You deal with it through grace and forgiveness. But the victory belongs to people whose faith do not fail, does not fail. So when he's praying for you, I think he's praying for all of us that our faith won't fail. First John, it talks about faith brings us the victory. I mean, faith is the deal. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the writer in Hebrews said. Don't ever let your faith fail. You know why? That is the very tool in your toolbox, the very substance, the very thing that'll get you back to a place of victory. So, four truths of why God wants you to be more than a conqueror. One, he wants you to be victorious. Number two, he'll give you the power to power through what you need to power through, like Jane does with her cancer. Number three, God can declare you righteous. If you want to take something with you today, you say, am I righteous before God? Have I received his gift, the declaration of the acquittal of my sins? Has he legally just justified me? Do I feel that in my heart? He wants to give it to you today if you don't. And number four, understand that he's praying for you. And he wants you to succeed through your faith. The conclusion says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. You fill in your struggle. You list it there, whatever it is. Maybe it's in this list, maybe it's not. You fill it in. Paul says, what can separate us from God when we're going through this stuff? And then he says this, no. In all these things, all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Final slide. God wants you to be a conqueror. More than a conqueror. And so as we think about the tent and the uncertainty of what's going to happen, and even in America in general, the future, there's a lot of things going on in our country, but you and I are called to be a conqueror, to live with confidence. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to drill down on that. Be the head, not the tail. How do we do that? We take God at his word and let him do a deeper work in each of our hearts. Let's bow for prayer.